Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey, VA fam. I am joined today by an incredible guest. She has been on the show before. And now that I've had the conversation with Janice, every time I talk to her, I'm like, oh, you're actually a human ray of sunshine and such a real down to earth, powerful, quietly powerful woman who just is really grounded in her impact. She's grounded in what she wants out of life and the value she brings to others. And I just feel better after spending time chatting with Janice, and I'm just so excited for her, and her book is coming out. You guys are going to hear all about it. But let me tell y'all, for those who are not aware of Janice Torres, one of my favorite people just in life right now, I'll tell you a little bit about her before we get into our chat. She is an award-winning Latina money expert and entrepreneurship coach. She became an accidental entrepreneur after job loss led her to create a successful Latin food blog called Delish Delights. But as you'll hear in our conversation, that is just one of almost 10 different business revenue streams that she has built for herself over the past decade. And today, Janice helps clients and listeners build successful online businesses that allow them to pursue financial independence and freedom, not just from the 9-to-5 grind, but the freedom to redefine what success means for you. And we'll talk about how Janice has redefined what success means for her, even as an influencer and entrepreneur herself. Like, there's things that she's been like, oh, hell no, I can make money from that, but no, I don't want to, because I actually want some free time. So we get into everything from her dating life after divorce to building, like we said, the multiple businesses that she has, and sort of how building a business online can even make you feel disconnected from reality and from community, but how she's counterbalanced that so that she has created this incredible Yo Quiero Dinero family. And Janice is always focused on her impact. She's on a mission to educate marginalized communities on entrepreneurship, investing, and building generational wealth. And her podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero, you have to go check it out. And without further ado, let's just get on into our conversation with Janice. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to go pick up her brand new first ever book. You will be hard pressed to miss it on bookshelves, because you'll just look for the sign that says Financially Lit with the gorgeous blonde and the hot pink power suit on the cover. It is everything. Please go pick up your copy. You can also head to financiallylitbook.com. And Janice is going on a book tour, y'all. So join me. I'm going to be at her stop in New York City on May 2nd, I believe. So join us, celebrate this incredible woman and all she has to offer. And I'll get out of my way so y'all can hear my conversation with Janice right now. All right, BA fam. I almost said mi gente, but I guess
you can
say mi gente. Hello, BA fam. I am joined by friend of the show, friend of me, the beautiful, the talented, the incredible Janice Torres, who has a brand new, gorgeous book coming out. I know that it's full of facts and insights for anyone who wants to learn how to get their financial ish together, Janice, but can I just say the cover is everything.
Thank you.
Barbie before. Did you even know Barbie was going to be a cultural phenomenon?
Because I did
you got
not.
The memo. Okay.
that was divine intervention.
The hot pink with the blonde, that is serendipitous on another level. But your brand new book, Financially Lit, I'm reading it from behind you, The Modern Latina's Guide to Level Up. Wait, read the whole thing. What's it called? I'm always bad at the subtitle.
Yes, it's Financially Lit, the Modern Latina's Guide to Level Up Your Dinero and Become Financially Poderosa.
Ooh, poderosa. I love that. So if you guys have not heard our show with Janice in the past, give the folks a little tidbit. How would you describe yourself today? Sort of like, what is the Janice package people can expect?
Yes. So I am a personal finance podcaster, educator, business coach, and serial entrepreneur that helps women of color financially level up. And I do that in a lot of different ways. I love focusing on the areas of financial independence and entrepreneurship because that has been my path to breaking out of the corporate rat race, retiring from my engineering career in my mid-30s, and now being able to pursue basically a life built around options and freedom. And it's all been thanks to learning about money.
Yes, absolutely. And Janice, I was a fan before I was a friend, I think. Forget. I went through this moment when I launched my business a few years ago. It'll be 3 years this June, my business anniversary. And I remember, I probably told the story before, but I remember kind of thinking, oh, I need new friends because I don't have a lot of friends. I mean, obviously I have Tiffany, but it had been the pandemic. I had been in a 9-to-5 more traditional career. And even, like I said, with the podcast, I really just knew Tiffany. I didn't go out of my way to form new connections because see also pandemic,
right?
Baby.
Right.
I was in a little bit of a haze anyhow, but one of the very first like work trip I ever took was to FinCon. But prior to that, which is, I got to meet you in person then, but prior to that, I was like, I need to reach out to people that I'm seeing like really kill it, who are fun and seem fun. And you're one of the first people I reached out to just to be like, hi.
Oh, I love
talk
that
on the internet.
Yeah. The pandemic was a really special time for like personal finance influencers. I think it was just like a boom and we got to meet so many interesting, incredible people thanks to the algorithm.
Yeah. Yay. Shout out to those algos. We love them, but we also hate them.
Yes, for sure.
I actually wanted to talk to you. I know that I was texting just to kind of see what you wanted to touch on today. And I for sure want to chat about the personal and where that sort of intersects with the business side and the financial side for you. But AI, I'm dying to talk to you about it because, you know, a huge part of your entrepreneurial journey has been teaching people how to start side hustles with a blog, right? And I also, I have had blogs over the years, but my background is in journalism. I was a journalist for many years. I still kind of am like somewhat a journalist. I don't know. I hold myself accountable. But also I was in content marketing, which is SEO. It's search engine optimization. It's creating content that Google is the algorithm again is going to serve up on a silver platter on the search results page. And I just know like before I left that space, content marketing in 2021, it was like AI was becoming a thing. And I remember feeling really uncomfortable about other sites, competitors of ours that I heard who were using AI to create content. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole just yet, but I'm just like bookmarking it in my brain for later.
Yeah.
But let's bring it to the book. Okay. Your book is coming out. If you guys have not gotten your copy, where can they go to grab one? Do you have what's the main website? Is it
financiallylitbook.com, super easy to remember. And you can order both the hard copy and the audiobook version, which I was just informed that we were named one of Audible's most buzzworthy releases of 2024.
Whoa.
Which is wild because you think about just like how many audiobooks come out in a single quarter. Uh-huh. It's like, holy crap, somebody's listening to this and somebody likes it.
Well, the thing is, like, if you love, which, you know, your podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero, which everyone should check out, is wonderful. And I think you can listen to, I mean, how many hours is your audiobook?
Oh, like, I think it's at least like 8 hours.
I know, but that's like 8 episodes of the show, you know? Right. So I feel like if fans have been hearing you in that format, I think it's great. I love audiobooks myself.
Yeah, me too.
But let's take that off. You're going on your book tour. So you're going to be hitting some big cities. You're
yes. Coming to New York, Dallas, LA, Tampa, Miami, Orlando, and more stops on the way. So I'm really excited to just see and hug real life people because, you know, just like you, my personal finance brand blew up during the pandemic. So I'm still like just getting a chance to get out there and be amongst the community. And I think that's honestly my favorite part of this whole thing.
Do you feel genuinely, because I was, just to like take it somewhere real, not that we haven't been real, but I was listening. I told you I was blow drying my hair, and I was listening to in between the blow drying, you know, you have downtime, resting my arm. I was listening to this incredible episode of, I love Esther Perel's podcast, mm-hmm. Where Should We Begin? She's a relationship sex expert. You know, she's gone viral on multiple TED Talks. And anyway, her and Brene Brown got together at, I think it was South by, what happens in Texas? Was it South by Southwest?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's in Austin.
Yeah. Something in Austin. Anywho, and they were talking about AI a little bit, but really they were talking about like the level of loneliness, even though we have so many friends online, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily a new topic, but something that they said really resonated with me. It was like, the kind of content that does so well, even though, you know, being online is sort of like this, it's like a shield that we use to connect with people, quote unquote, but we're not really, like, you have 1,000 friends, but who's going to feed your cat is the question that they pose. However, they do draw this connection to how the content that really goes viral and connects with people is often very personal, very like vulnerable. And I think of you in there because you have been, I think, vulnerable in sharing a lot of your personal journey, not just from working 9 to 5 and that toxic culture and engineering and all that, but even in your personal life, personal life. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about deciding, how long has it been? Has it been a year yet? 2 years?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years in November.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a year and a half-ish since you separated from your then husband, mm-hmm. and you've been divorced.
Yep.
And you share that. And I just wondered, as you're talking about getting to hug and like physically be present with your community, have you felt that human connection through the community that you've built?
Yeah.
Does it feel like authentic and real? And how has that helped you during these like difficult times? Mm. Not just personal, but the pandemic on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the impact of what we do as financial educators, you can see metrics, right? You can look at your analytics and just, how many downloads did the podcast get, or how many likes did this post get? But when you meet actual people and they burst into tears meeting you, which has happened to me multiple times, or I get spotted out in the world and they're just like, oh my God, it's you. I listened to your show. You realize that like, these are whole ass humans that are listening to your content, that are taking in your information. And I think it's a good reminder for me to just like take the job seriously, because you can have real impact, you know, and when people trust you, I think that's the most valuable form of currency that we can have as business owners. That is literally how brands are built, on trust. And so I take that very seriously, and I'm not afraid to like, you know, put my flag in the sand and like, this is where I draw the line. And I'm not just going to go hop on another trend because that's what people are doing. Like, if I don't genuinely endorse something or just believe something, I'm just never going to be the type of creator that takes a big enough check to, you know, look the other way. And I mean, for me, as somebody who primarily obviously works from home, a lot of the work I do is virtual. It's great to just get out there and remember that these are actual people that buy my courses and that review the show and that support the work that I'm doing. It's very humbling, and I'm really grateful for it.
I'm really excited for you to get that experience too, to be loved by your people.
Thank you.
You know, and I'll be there cheering you on as well.
Yay.
which I'm excited to squeeze you too, you little nugget. I remember meeting you for the first time being like, oh, everybody's such a peanut.
Yes, everybody looks giant. So much taller on social media than they are.
Hey, those angles. We know how to make an angle.
It's so true.
But yeah, and not only that, but I think about you and your love for Zumba, which I was a diehard Zumba freak as well. I kind of fell off because there's not a good class up here where I live. Man. My goodness.
Yeah.
It's very annoying. There's no flavor. That's not true. There's some flavor, but not, you know, convenient to me and where I live, but Zumba too. Like, I just wonder, what are some of the ways as an online entrepreneur yourself that you have found to stay connected and to not get into that trap of working in a vacuum? And what is all this for? I don't have anybody. Like, you have so much, you have a rich life, not just in business and finances, but what are the ways and strategies that you use just to keep grounded and to stay connected?
I think it is having an entire life off of social media. You know, it's like, this is just one small part of what people see. But, you know, I have friends, two of my best friends are people that I went to like grammar school with, and we've known each other since we're 11 years old, you know, and they're just normal people. Oh. They're not out here.
I'm
like
always jealous of stories like that. I ain't got nobody from my grammar school years. College is where I kind of pick up.
Yeah. I mean, like there's just, you know, my family is still just sees Janice. You know, my partner didn't even know like what I did when we first met, and he's still like, okay, that's cool, but like, that's not why I'm with you, you know? So there's just like so many reminders that our identities as entrepreneurs and as creators, that's just like one small sliver. And I think the best way that I do, or the best way that I can stay grounded is just not letting that consume me and not letting that be the focus of all of my energy. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like they say, nobody writes your title on your tombstone. You know, that's not why people remember you. It's about the impact that you had, the time that you poured into the people that you care about. So that has to be the focus, because what was it all for at the end of the day?
So what is it that makes your life outside of like work and the online grind and this book tour? What are you doing that is feeding you back?
Well, I'm definitely involving my family in like a big part of this journey. So my sister is actually going to moderate my talk in Tampa. My dad's going to be going with me to WNYC studios to like watch me do an interview. My mom's going to be coming on the book tour. So just like the fact that I get to share what I'm doing with them in a way that, you know, they see it online and stuff, but they don't get to experience it on that level. I'm really excited to just bring them into my world, because they've been the biggest support, you know, even though they thought it was nuts. They also have just understood that like I had a vision and to trust me with it. So I'm super excited about that. And also just like putting some downtime in, you know, like taking vacations. And I'm also not putting pressure on myself to like achieve some sort of metric when it comes to business. You know, I don't have this like insatiable hunger to continuously scale and to get on the New York Times bestseller list and all these things. I'm just like, whatever is meant to be will be. And just the fact that I get to do this incredible work, which is not even work. It's just like ridiculous that I even get to just talk about money and connect with people and call this a career. Like, I'm so grateful for that, that anything else that comes out of it, accolades, titles, opportunities, blah, 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 whatever, that's just bonus. But that's never my focus.
Hey, VA fam, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more with Janice Torres. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. I'm so happy. So, I mean, maybe I sort of knew I was going to be speaking to you, and I started thinking about, we don't have guests a ton on the show, but we have had some guests where I'm always like, dang it, I don't know if that was the right person, only because I really want to be careful with who we share our audience with, because I want people to be learning and engaging with people who have sort of their eye on the big picture, like people who can still go outside and appreciate the sunshine, mm-hmm. and appreciate the little things and human connection, and are not chasing a huge goal and chasing numbers and accolades. Like you said, those things are incredible and they will come. But I just love the mindset that you have. And I'm reminded again why I was like, Janice, we must be friends, because you just are someone who gets it, and at least gets it on a level that I also get it. Where for me, it's, I love what we get to do. It's mm-hmm. fun. It doesn't feel like work unless you start being tied to the algorithm, and yep. then it is a job. But getting to sort of show up authentically and share little nuggets, has been working. And so, and I was kind of talking to Tiffany this morning, and by the way, she's sorry, she's actually in Florida.
Oh, good for her.
Can't be with us today. Anyhow, but yeah, I was talking to her and I was just like, yeah, I remember this guest, and they just felt like they weren't enjoying any of it. They were going on this book tour and they were talking about it as if it was like a huge drag. But then I'm hearing you, and I was like, well, dang, I would love to be able to like get a crowd at a huge venue, you know, just to talk about your book. Are you kidding me? Like that's the dream. But yeah. It wasn't, you know, for them, it wasn't where their goalposts were, which is fine and fair. But for me, what I'm craving is, I feel like what you're craving, and especially as I am on the very beginning of my book journey, it feels like I've been on the very beginning for a long time. It's great to have an example to look at of, oh, you're actually not driving yourself batshit crazy,
you know, and
trying to get on the bestseller lists and all that.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's the point? And I think so many people fall victim to like wanting to live out somebody else's version of success because that's just what they think they should want. And that's something mm-hmm. that I touch on in the book, is just this idea of all those things that are on your checklist, like who put them on there? Is it your family, your community, your friends? Like who's influencing the decisions that you make when it comes to your career and how you spend your money and the things that you prioritize? You know, I know for me, I had a lot of these things on my checklist that now looking back, I'm like, I didn't even put this stuff on here. This was just projected onto me. Like I need to go become an engineer because that's going to make me a lot of money. I never asked myself, like, is that actually what you want to do? Is that going to make you happy? Are you going to feel fulfilled by this decision? The same thing with homeownership. It was the pressure of, well, you're turning 30 and this is just what responsible 30 something year olds do. They buy homes. But then looking back, I realized I don't even like living in New Jersey at the time. Why the hell would I buy a house to then be stuck here? You know, and then it also represented me having to stay in a career because I didn't want to do it, but now I have this mortgage. So it's like all these things, I had to dismantle this belief system about what success looked like for me financially and be okay with like disappointing a lot of people. And that's hard.
Especially when they are the people who, I don't know, maybe before the internet. I mean, I think we were around long enough before the internet. Like we're the generation. We built it, y'all. Okay. Mm-hmm,
we did.
We made Twitter what it was. All right. But still, we remember a time without it. Right. And you really did look outside for that validation from parents. And I mean, from parents, from family, from friends and all of that, just what they think of you really matters.
Yeah.
And now it's crazy because you can be so celebrated. I think so much of your story, my story, that's like made for the internet, like, you know, came from the bottom. Now we're here. People right. love a success story and all of that. Pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, got this online business. But to family and friends, it may be like, what on earth is she? Like, what is they doing?
Why are you putting your business out there?
Oh, yes. Yes. The personal stuff. Or don't put me in there. Uh-huh. I heard you talk about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, was that about me? You know, I don't know if sometimes I cross the line just a little bit.
Me too. It's fine. My mom already knows to expect, you know, I'm a loose cannon
sometimes.
She was
listening the way that she was listening. I'm like, really? Every Wednesday? Well. Okay. So business-wise, you mentioned in the beginning of the show that you said serial entrepreneur, which I think is such a sexy way to describe yourself, like serial, and it's kind of like dangerous, you know? I watch a lot of murdery kind of stuff. So that's where my mind goes a little bit. But talk to me about all the different things you have going on, because it is beyond your side hustle course and all of that now, talk to us about the evolution of the financially lit Yo Quiero Dinero universe.
Yeah. So I have been doing this whole content creation thing for over a decade now, and I started in the blogging space. So my first foray into online content creation is a blog called DelishDelights.com. It's still in existence today. And it's actually the foundation of like me being able to walk away from corporate, because now it's like a six-figure business that just kind of runs itself. And it's content that I share, primarily Latin recipes that are influenced by my cultural upbringing as a Puerto Rican woman. So after doing that for 6 years, I was ready to shift into a new medium, if you will. And by that point, I'd been listening to podcasts for a while. And I focused in on like financial independence podcasts and was really inspired by the work that people were doing. But I felt like I couldn't find a podcast that was speaking primarily to Latinas. And as a first gen Latina who had to navigate, you know, applying for student loan aid and going to college and doing all these like firsts, I wanted to hear like, how do we achieve this American dream? Because there's been no blueprint given to us. And so I quickly became like
reinvent that dream.
Yeah, that too.
or dismantle it and reassemble it into something that you actually want.
Yeah, I think that's actually what's happening. But so I became obsessed with personal finance, and I continuously was the friend in my friend circle who people would ask money questions to, because I was just always talking about it. And people would watch like the fact that I have this blog going on and I'm talking about side hustling and blah, blah, blah. So after, you know, having repeated conversations with friends, I decided maybe I should just start a podcast, because if they have these questions, like maybe other people on the internet have these questions. And so in 2019, I launched Yo Quiero Dinero. Didn't have any plans for like monetizing it. Didn't even know how you monetize a podcast. It just was another passion project, just like the blog. And by the end of 2020, it blown up to the point where I had to make a decision. Am I going to go full time into this, or am I going to keep like juggling a 40 to 50 hour work week and building this on the side? And it got to the point where I was having to take PTO from my regular job to work on Yo Quiero Dinero. I was getting speaking engagements in the middle of the day and like doing virtual workshops and all these types of things. And I was making probably like four times more than I was in corporate. So I'm like, well, what the hell am I still doing here for this? You know, what am I doing this for? But then everything came to a head when a coworker notified my boss about like what was going on.
Ooh.
And I was confronted in a meeting that there were suspicions that I was going to quit because of, you know, just how I was blowing up on social media, blah, blah, blah. And I was asked by my manager, like straight up, are you going to quit your job? And I had not planned to do so at that very moment. I was actually going to like wait out the rest of the year to collect my bonus and all that stuff. But I decided to just let her know, yep, I'm quitting. And actually, I'm going to tender my resignation letter as soon as we hop off of this call. And I did that. That was April 30th, 2021. And lo and behold, my new book, which documents my whole journey in this money world, is coming out 3 years to the day that I walked away from corporate and said, I'm betting on myself.
Wow. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, BA fam, our fellow entrepreneurs and creatives, this message is sponsored by Squarespace. It is the ultimate toolkit for crafting your online presence. With Squarespace, it's really about more than just building a website. It's about shaping your online identity and making your mark. So say goodbye to checkout headaches with Squarespace's flexible payment options. From credit cards to Apple Pay, they've got you covered. And if you live in an eligible country, they offer buy now, pay later options with Afterpay and ClearPay, which means that your customers have even more ways to purchase your products. So head over to squarespace.com and kickstart your journey with a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, don't forget to use our link squarespace.com/brownambition to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Just visit squarespace.com/brownambition to get your discount today. Remember, your online success story begins with Squarespace. So what are you waiting for? Let's build something extraordinary together.
Do you ever have subscriptions that you forget about? I did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a hard time canceling those subscriptions because they seem tricky or time consuming? Raise your hand. I know it's you. Okay. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Yes. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I cancel it with a tap. I've never had to get on the phone with customer service in order to do so. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions, okay? So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/brownambition. That's rocketmoney.com/brownambition. rocketmoney.com/brownambition.
Life is really crazy. And as much as you can be like, you know, the universe and all that, but you did a lot in between then and now to make it so that your book has come out. I know we can't plan like publishing schedules, but what was it about the 9 to 5? Because I want to go back to that. What was it about that job that made you want to keep one foot in, even as you were building this, like these new business lines?
Well, I think I had a lot of...
Other than the insurance.
Yeah, well, the benefits. I mean, they don't call them the golden handcuffs for no reason, right? I mean, I was making a steady 6 figures a year, nice bonus. I had no legitimate reason to leave from the external perspective. You know, I had the dream job, all that. But I just never felt a sense of security that I think I was sold as, this is why we do this. And I think a big part of why I always felt like I needed to have my own way to make money was because I graduated into the Great Recession. I literally graduated 6 months before the entire economy tanked. And so here I am watching colleagues, friends getting laid off in mass. I'm seeing people who've been dedicating 20, 30, 40 years of their lives to companies just tossed away with nothing more than, you know, here's 15 minutes to pack your stuff and be on your way. And I think for me, seeing that at 22, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So this whole safe and stable job situation that people told me I would get when I went into corporate, it's not so safe and stable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to have my own back. And so I think I always operated from the perspective that my paycheck was a means to an end. It was an opportunity for me to, you know, save, invest, start businesses. But ultimately, I don't think I was ever going to be the type of person that said I could do this for the rest of my life. I was very disillusioned from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I love about your story is it takes a huge amount of faith in yourself, because a lot of us, you know, even when we started the podcast back in 2015, it wasn't clear. I remember someone saying like, are you afraid you're going to alienate people by having Brown in the title? And I'm like, no, that's the point. we want to be specific.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, I pitched it to my employer at the time. I was a writer at Yahoo Finance, and they were like, podcasts, we can't make any money off those yet. So no.
Go figure.
But then you just kind of do it anyway. And it takes a level of like having faith in yourself. And that's kind of, after, you know, I did the podcast for 8 years, you know, had the career in journalism and marketing, but 3 years of doing Mandy Moneymakers and career coaching. And the common thing that I'm actually coaching women through, maybe you can identify with this as well in your work, but it's self-trust, like having enough. Mm-hmm. What do you need to make you trust yourself enough to take a chance?
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to ask what was sort of keeping you. It doesn't seem like it was like you didn't trust that you could do it, but it was like this autopilot almost of like, I just have a job. That's what you do. And then, wait a minute. I actually don't have logical, like super logical reasons. Like I've taken those away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's your source of income. Well, I got others now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I just find that really amazing. And I want that for everyone, just to try something different and then prove that you didn't Well, I was going to say didn't die, but you might try something and you know,
depends on how risky it is.
Yeah, don't try like, you know, eating foraged plants. I always watch that lady on TikTok who's like happy snacking, don't die.
You know,
but
one of the things,
trust yourself, yes.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me too that I realized is that a lot of the reasons why we feel like we don't have the option to like make a career pivot or like start a business is because we have so many other obligations. And so one of the big things for me that was keeping me stuck, if you will, was a bunch of student loan debt and a mortgage and just owing a lot of people a bunch of money, you know, credit card debt and the like. And once I discovered the financial independence movement, there was this recurring theme where it's like, if you want options to change your career, to work less, to live more, you got to stop owing people money. And so that was my primary focus in the beginning before I walked away from my job. I said, I need to be student loan debt free. Because at least with that, I know Uncle Sam is not going to be coming after me, like trying to garnish my checks and all that stuff. And so once I had that financial freedom that comes from being debt free, I felt way more comfortable to be able to manage the ebbs and flows that come with entrepreneurship.
Yes, that is such a great testimony and so relatable when it comes to what I was talking about, like helping women define what is it that you need to feel free. Mm-hmm. And debt is one of the big issues. Debt and healthcare,
yeah.
I'm going to say. Because man, the way talk about sign-on bonuses and all that, it's great. But like just healthcare is so expensive.
Yeah.
Out of the marketplace. What do you do for healthcare now? I don't know if when you were previously married, was your partner carrying the insurance? So what did you do post separation? How are you? Are you on the Obamacare plan?
Yep.
What's going on?
I am paying for my
expensive?
Own. I'm paying like $500 a month for medical coverage, okay. But that's because I'm a single, you know, unmarried woman. But I do think about that, you know, if in the future I decide to have kids, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a reason why I need to increase my prices because these premiums are no joke. And so, you know, entrepreneurs, make sure that you are factoring in those costs that you're giving up as a, you know, career girly into your pricing, because we got to make up for that.
I'm saying, yeah, I actually had a coaching session with a woman from the Mandy Moneymakers who just got let go. She was anticipating it. She has she has a new business, like a course and all this that she's setting up, and she has a contract position lined up. So she's not in dire straits, which is, I'm always preaching resilience, like create a soft landing for yourself. But one of the things she was trying to figure out her consulting rates, and I have a pretty simple calculator, and it's basically like, how much do you want to make is the first question. And a lot of people get stuck. So they base it on what they were making before. Like, oh, well, I was bringing home this net before from my other job. And I'm like, this is different. You're paying taxes on your own. You're paying for your healthcare. Now she's also a single Pringle. Well, you're not a single Pringle. You know what I mean. Tax-wise.
According to the government.
According to the government, you're single. Which means, you know, having to carry her own insurance. And she was like, yeah, I mean, I'll go on that site and figure out. And then I'm like, no, let's go together. Healthcare.gov. Let's start here. What state you live in? Jersey? Okay, cool. Let's figure out how much it's going to cost, because that's like the biggest expense, I feel like, for if you want insurance, which I think most people should have it.
Right.
Just a little. You can tell them you learned that on Brown Ambition.
I need
health insurance.
You literally, it's one of those things where you hate paying for it, but you're glad you have it when you need it.
Pet insurance, I don't know, not so much. But, you know, travel insurance when you book a flight, I don't know about all that. But just regular health insurance has been known to keep people out of the poorhouse sometimes. So she needed to factor that in. And I'm like, you got to get down and look at the numbers. And they may not be as scary. You know, even just hearing you, $500, I'm like, oh, you know, in the early days, it was a lot more. It was kind of all over the place. So just a little unsexy entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Talk.
There's always a solution though. So I think that's what I want people to realize. Like, you can set up your own 401k, you can get your own insurance. Like, don't let that be the reason why you don't pursue this if you want to do it.
Absolutely. It's like, I know 100%. It's fighting the fears with facts. That's what I like to call it.
I love that.
So the fear is, well, my 401k. Well, here's a fact. You can get one of them yourself. Well, it's different, but it's not that different. Okay, so with the book coming out, with your new relationship, 2023, 2024 has been, what would you call it, like a year of just shift in your, you know, life? How has it been showing up for you? Are you feeling just incredible? Are you feeling like, oh, it's just the start? How has it all felt?
I think 2023 was the year where I put myself first. Like even in business, in my personal life, I allowed myself to enjoy the fruits of my labor, because at that point, you know, I've been doing this for over a decade, and you have to get off the freaking treadmill as an entrepreneur sometimes and just reassess, like, am I still doing work that excites me? Am I still enjoying this process? Are there areas where I need to, you know, refocus attention or just not even bother? So I think 2023 was a big year of optimizing my life to enjoy more and work less. It was
So how are we doing that?
So
I think some notes.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me was asking myself, like, when is enough enough? Right. And I think there's a lot of this pressure as an entrepreneur to like always scale to the next milestone. So, you know, if you made 100K last year, well, you got to make 250, and then you got to make 500, and then you got to go scale to seven figures and blah, blah, blah. And that just never sat well with me. That whole mindset just feels like a self-induced prison sentence.
It feels kind of like a 9-to-5.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, but for what? Like, is my quality of life at this moment going to change if I make another 500 grand? Nope, because I just don't need to be making seven figures to enjoy the life that I want. And so I think that's been my primary focus. It's like, when is enough enough? Do I need to do all of these other things that I see other people doing? Because, quote unquote, again, is that my version of success, or is that somebody else's version of success that now I'm putting my pressure on myself to like achieve? So I think that's been the biggest thing. It's just like,
what have you said no to in the process? Like, what are some of those things on the no list that I'm like, you're like, oh, I'm good for now?
Memberships. You know, everybody keeps telling me I should start a membership, and I'm like, no, I don't want to
like
work
a
more.
Patreon?
Yeah. Or just like a subscription model based thing where people pay, you know, for recurring revenue and things like that. And I'm just like, but then that means I have to continuously show up. I have to continuously create new content. I'm basically on another freaking hamster wheel. For what? That is not my definition of like success as an entrepreneur. It's just feeling like now you're doing all of these things, you've overcommitted. And so, you know, for me, it's been just saying, you know what, that might be nice to have like recurring revenue, but does the business model suit what I want to prioritize, which is having more free time? No. So I'm not going to do it. And I think one of the reasons why I'm able to be like really flexible in my business is because I have a bunch of different ways that I make money. And so I can like turn things on and off, right? I like pull levers and push levers and focus attention in different areas so that I never have to feel like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to pay my bills because I'm just making money in one specific way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so proud. Like, I think this was the past couple of years have been the time when I'm like, oh, you know, the seeds that we planted even with Brown Ambition years ago, I'm like, oh, this is, we didn't set out to make money. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how, because there weren't really any models. It was like Serial was the huge podcast. And, you know, but anyway, but now it's like Tiffany and I are both like, oh, hey, we can take some money this month. Okay. and it's become a quote unquote passive. It feels passive because it's so damn fun.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, we show up and we kind of have this like well-oiled machine and it supplements everything else. And even as I'm working on my book journey, you know, I had to really push down the lever of my my high touch community that I have. I have the community that all the women who've joined, I do my biweekly coaching, which I just love, genuinely just love talking. They're like my friends now. But I'm like, oh, I get to give myself space for the book because I have, you know, this other income stream. And then you have the sprinkle type stuff I call like the speaking engagements
right.
that you can't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not shabby. has the income fluctuate? Well, are you in a place now where you don't have these like income fluctuations that are so drastic that they cause stress? Because I think that for a lot of entrepreneurs, Tiffany talked about this, like last year was a tough year, you know, for partnerships and things like that, which is a lot of ways that influencers make money. But can you speak candidly about that? Why is my screen giving me a
thumbs up? Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I saw that. That was hilarious.
Thank you. Someone's listening.
Good question.
Anyway, yes. Have you gotten to a place where it seems to be like, oh, I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think I have 100%, but I'm curious to hear what.
Yeah, I think so for me, because I have, I think at this point, like 8 different income streams, I can always anticipate like meeting a specific baseline that I have in my head, right? So I know like every month, at least this much is going to come in and it's enough to cover expenses and payroll and whatever. And so I also like plan ahead, you know, kind of what's the thing I want to launch next month or what's the area of income that I want to focus in on, just depending on whatever everything else that's going on. So for me, I've gotten good at creating money consistently. But I'm also like really financially conservative in general. Like I do not have a big luxurious, you know, multi-million dollar home. I still rent. And I think that shocks a lot of people because again, it's this narrative of like, once you're a certain level financially, like buying a house is always going to make sense. And for me, I'm just like, no, I don't really feel like forking over 20K for a new roof right now. Like I'd rather be able to pour that into my business if I want to, you know, scale or create some new process or whatever. I also keep a lot of cash on hand as an entrepreneur. So I have like close to a year's worth of operating expenses just sitting in a high yield savings account. So that I know, like, even if we have a consecutive number of like crappy months, I'm good. Like nothing's going to derail that. And one of the big things that gives me a lot of peace of mind is that, again, before quitting my job, I wanted to get to a place where, let's say I had to take an extended break from investing for retirement, that was going to be okay. And my retirement was still going to be secured. So I focused a lot while I was still in corporate of maxing out my 401k. And I took like my bonuses and invested all of that stuff. So I am at a place where if I never invest another dollar, I'm going to have probably $4 or $5 million waiting for me when I'm 65 years old. So just having all these different things kind of working in the background. And, you know, the fact that I have the blog, I have podcast ads, I have affiliate marketing, I do speaking, I have an Airbnb. So there's like a lot of different ways that I can earn money. And it just has given me a lot more consistency than, again, just like relying on the single income source.
It's given you power. And agency, poderosa, just like the title of your book, right? All right, Janice, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Congratulations on just all the incredible I hope that this book tour, this moment of getting to embrace the people who love you and adore you and your community that you built is everything that you deserve it to be. I'm so happy that gorgeous face is going to be on bookshelves. I can't wait to go see it out in the wild.
Please make sure to cover up Dave Ramsey's face with my book when you're in your local bookstore.
Listen, I do it every time I'm at Target. And like, Tiffany is one of the only women of color who got a finance book. And I'm just like, scooch over, sir. You'll be fine. But even without that, it's just like, you know, there's space for Dave Ramsey. It's always going to be a space for him. You know what I'm saying? But there's also space for you and all that you have to offer. So y'all go get her book, financiallylitbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. And please go check out her podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. Janice, my darling, my love, my little nugget. thank you for joining the show again. And I can't wait to see you on your New York City book tour stop.
Thank you so much. And shout out to you and Tiffany for being one of the OGs in this space, giving permission to women of color to talk about money unapologetically, because honestly, none of us that get to do this now would be where we are without your paving the path for us. So thank you.
Wow, that is really generous. And I will try to receive it, even though it made me sweat a little bit. A little prickle. Thanks, Janice.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
the purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.